Thank you, Pam, for that reading. Let's pray as we open God's word. Father God, we thank you that we can read your word, we can open your word, and that you can speak to us. May you lead us, may you guide us, and may we hear you tonight and follow your ways. Amen. So as Nick mentioned earlier in the service, we're in this series, the second one of this series, around examples of failure within the Bible that help us to learn and grow. Because it has been said that actually the worst mistake you can make is to not to learn from mistakes. That actually we all do make mistakes. We're not perfect. We get things wrong. That happens. But actually we need to learn from those so hopefully we don't make the same mistake again, basically. Or actually, sometimes to learn from other people's mistakes so that then we never make that mistake in the first place. And hopefully as we unpack this passage and all through these series, by looking at the mistakes of others, we can learn and grow. Because we're not perfect. We don't always get it right. But actually, Jesus was perfect and showed us the perfect example. But it's also important to remember that actually, as we dive into the example of the different people in these passages, that actually most of them, all of them, are great examples of faith. That actually, despite not being perfect, despite having failures and making mistakes, they had the faith in God to help them to overcome those things and to follow him and do amazing things for him. For whoever we are, when we make mistakes, God still can be at work if we trust and believe in him. And that faith is what God looks for, whatever our circumstances and our situation. But you might also be sitting there tonight going, a passage and a series about thinking about leadership. Does this one apply to me tonight? And for some of us, we might think we're not in a role where we have leadership over others in a specific situation at the moment. How can this apply to us? But I hope as we unpack it, we'll see that there's more to it than just thinking about leadership, but actually how we discern God guiding us and how we are led and can help encourage others to follow him. Because actually there's so many different ways to be involved in leading, in actually influencing others and actually helping guide and encourage others, that hopefully it'll be something for all of us out of this passage tonight. But first, before we get stuck into it, a short example of leadership from my own life. This goes back about 20 years now. I was in my early 20s working at a Christian-run outdoor activity centre in the Scottish Borders up north. The organisation that ran it decided to get all the staff together from the different centres, mostly they're down in the south. So we travelled down, a load of us on the staff team. I was in a junior role on the staff team. There was a deputy manager, there was a manager and a couple of other staff. We travelled to this get-together for a couple of days. And we did all the usual things you do sort of in these situations when you come together. There's talks around the vision and mission and the strategies and what's going on, things that might be practical like health and safety and sort of budgets. And then also things around evangelism, actually how to share faith, because we were a Christian-run organization who wanted to share faith when we invited people to come to our accommodation. But also they did the classic thing of a little bit of team building exercises as well, which sometimes we loathe when these things happen. And this one is one where we were in groups about five and six, and we had this scenario that you might be familiar with as a puzzle or challenge. It's a boat trying to get across from one side of the river to the other. And there's three, well, I was going to say objects, two animals and one object. There's a fox, there's a chicken, and then there's a bag of seed. Some people are smiling because you recognize this one. And your challenge is to get them across without anything going wrong, because the fox and the chicken can't be in the boat together because the fox will eat the chicken. Chicken with the seed because the chicken will eat the seed. So you've got to work out how to do this and how that might work. And we were working together as a team, and I was designated as the leader for the team. But as soon as we were given the go to get on with this challenge and work it out as fast as we could, someone else took over. They were actually a center manager in the south in one of these other centers, used to running things, and they just took over and got on with it. And actually, it was going quite well, to be honest, I have to admit. And we seemed to be doing okay, and then we seemed to get to a bit of an impasse in the middle where we were still trying to work it out. And it was at this point I basically just kind of took the reins back and said, well, I'm the leader, I should be sorting this out, and kind of said, well, we're getting this wrong, we need to go back to the start and start again, which we did. Then we got on with it, and eventually we managed to work it out and solve the puzzle and get them all over to the other side safely. But what I realized, I think, towards sort of the second half of that, as we were getting close towards finishing, is we were basically doing the same stuff again that we'd already done before. And I basically got the team to stop, go back to start, and repeat the process pretty much again. And it had taken us twice as long. If I'd not done that, maybe we would have worked it out and got it done a lot quicker. And I kind of reflect and went, yeah, leadership isn't always simple. And it's not always about holding the reins and actually being in charge. There's different ways we can be leaders. And that's a part of what's going on for Moses in our passage, as we'll see in a moment. But first, a little bit of a background to this passage. We've got two key people in here. We've got Moses and we've got Jethro. And a little bit of background, because we're diving into chapter 18. We're quite a bit of the way into the narrative of Exodus, and a lot has already happened. A lot that we'll probably be familiar with in terms of God being at work, freeing God's people from Egypt, bringing them out of slavery through the Red Sea into the desert. We've now got into the desert a few chapters earlier from chapter 18, and God's people are free. They're heading on the way to the Promised Land. Might take a little while for them to sort that out. And there's a lot of practical, almost pastoral maintenance things kicking off. How do we feed? Where do we get water from? All these things happening where Moses is consulting God and God's doing amazing stuff to provide for them. Then we get to where we are in this passage, chapter 18. And at this stage, at the start of verse 1, we discover that actually word about what's gone on has spread to Jethro, Moses' father-in-law. Surely it would have spread quickly, because something like that happening in the great empire of the Egyptians would have spread like wildfire. And Jethro comes to find Moses and to bring with him Moses' wife and kids. Now, a bit of a backstory on Jethro, because we meet him earlier in Exodus. Moses encounters Jethro when he's on the run from Egypt, and when he's at a well, he protects some shepherdesses who happen to be Jethro's daughters. And then Jethro welcomes him into his household. This is in the country of the Midianites, and we find out that Jethro is a priest of the Midianites, as we hear in this passage as well. We're not quite sure what that means, but he had some religious role, and we're not quite sure what the Midianites actually believed in terms of, did they believe in pagan gods? There's a little bit of confusion, partly because there is a link back to Abraham, who we learned about last week. It's likely that the Midianites had some descendancy from Abraham. It goes back to Abraham when Sarah, his first wife, dies. He remarries, and he remarries a woman called Keturah, and then has some children, including a son he calls Midian. So the Midianites are potentially some distant relations of Abraham and some distant relations of Moses and God's people, long-distant cousins, so to speak. And so Jethro has that long link with Moses. And then when he welcomes Moses into his household and allows him to marry one of his daughters, they then start a family, and this is all going on long before Moses gets called to Egypt. But when Moses gets called to Egypt, for their safety, he leaves them back with Jethro. And when Jethro hears all that happens to Moses and God's people and realizes that now actually would be a good time for a family reunion, Jethro brings Moses' wife and kids back, and they have a reunion, which you find earlier in our chapter, in verses 5-7. There's a bit of a family get-together as they meet up, and a little bit of a catch-up, basically what's been going on for the past few months. And amazingly, we discover a bit about Jethro there in terms of his response, because when he hears about what's happened and hears Moses' update and is told about everything that's happened, Jethro responds with this amazing response there in verse 10, just before our passage tonight. Praise be to the Lord who rescued you from the hand of the Egyptians and of Pharaoh, and who rescued the people from the hands of the Egyptians. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all other gods, for he did this to those who had treated Israel arrogantly. Jethro actually seems to grow in his understanding of who God is and professes this amazing profession of faith. And it got me wondering, as we think about leadership, on a side note, to think about this response that Jethro gets in terms of seeing God at work and discerning what God's doing. To think about how would we share our testimony of God's at work, how he's at work in our lives in the past 6 to 12 months. What's God been doing that we can point to show that he's at work transforming and changing lives? How do we discern that? Because we're going to come to that a bit later and to think about how do we discern how God's leading us and what that looks like in terms of leading others and encouraging others to follow Jesus. But what does it look like for God to be at work in our lives? If someone was to ask us, who hasn't seen us for a while, how's God been at work in your life recently, in the past 6 to 12 months, or in the life of your family, your friends, your home group, or in your church? How has God been at work? And how does that encourage people and point to Jesus and encourage them to discover more of him? But that's before we get to our passage here tonight, verse 13, and see what's going on. Jethro's arrived, the family welcomes happened, the reunion's gone on, and then the next day, Moses goes back to work, I suppose, is how you would describe it in modern language, and Jethro gets to see what that looks like. Now, by this stage, God's people are a huge number. There's a lot of them there, a lot of mouths to feed, a lot of water to sort out, as we hear in previous chapters, a lot going on. And Moses is their leader. He's been called and he's led them out of Egypt, and now he's working out what that looks like while they're in the desert on the way to the promised land. And there we see in verse 13 how that looks for Moses in his day-to-day life, it seems. So the next day, Moses took his seat to serve as a judge for the people, and they stood round him from morning till evening. It sounds like there was a lot going on, a lot of cases. It's almost like a courtroom situation where people are bringing their cases, but they've got to wait for their turn. And Moses is the one judging, seeking God's guidance, and giving the ideas, the guidance, directions for what they should do. And it all seems to be revolving around Moses. He can only do so much, and there's a lot he needs to be doing to manage all the people who are part of God's people. There seems to be a lot going on, and it all focuses on Moses. And this seems to be the issue that Jethro picks up on. In some ways, almost using work language again, Jethro is almost a bit like this outside consultancy firm that people get in to give different perspective on what's going on. Moses has been with God's people. God has called him to lead them, to guide them, done the amazing things of getting them out of Egypt, and Moses continued to lead them. And that's the way it's been for quite a while now in terms of how that has worked, his leadership and style and approach. But that might not be working so well, it seems. But Moses seems to have got stuck into a bit of a rut of doing it a certain way and needs an outside voice in Jethro to help him rethink things. And you know, sometimes actually, that is true, I think, for all of us in terms of our lives. That actually, it's good to have outside voices who get us to see and things differently and have a different perspective, to reflect on what's going on. Because when we're stuck in the middle of something, like Moses is stuck in the middle of this huge pressure and burden, so we've got a lot going on and we can't always see an alternative way forward, or we're just trying to keep going, keeping our head above the water almost, so to speak. And maybe Moses got a bit stuck into that and can't see anything different. And maybe for us, sometimes that's the case. We need someone to give us a nudge, to come with a different view and say something. Sometimes it's easier as well in terms of how we operate that if we have lots of people around us who actually have got the same experiences, the same background, the same views, that actually we need someone who has a different background to speak into our lives, which certainly Jethro had in this situation. And sometimes maybe we need to actually step and encourage ourselves to find people who can speak to us with godly wisdom, but who come from a place where they'll be able to speak into our lives without the background, maybe the challenges, the frustrations, the baggage, and speak into our lives with godly wisdom to see it differently and encourage us to find a new way. Certainly, it seems like the situation here with Moses, that's what's going on. He needs someone to come and speak a different perspective to him. Maybe the people around him who have been part of what's going on haven't seen it, don't think there's anything wrong going on. Or maybe they're not sure whether they should say it to Moses, because after all, God's called Moses and he's worked so powerfully through him. But Jethro comes and sees it and wants to make a difference there. And we see that in verse 14, that when he saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he brings up this issue. What is this you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit as judge? Why are all these people stand around you from morning till evening? Jethro seems to have two different sort of concerns here. One, for Moses, he's doing this all by himself and he can recognize the strain and difficulties of that. But also, Jethro has some recognition of what it's like for the people who seem to be having to stand around for a long time waiting for their turn, and the problems with how inefficient that is, and also how wearing that must be on the people as well. Jethro comes with this different view and speaks into the situation. He can see that there's an issue here, he wants to challenge it, and he does come up with an alternative idea. And we see what he suggests and highlights this later in the passage. So, Moses' father in verse 17 replies, "What you're doing is not good, and you and the people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone. Listen now to me, and I'll give you some advice, and may God be with you." What we hear in Jethro twice is actually he makes sure that God is in the picture in this situation. There in verse 19, "and may God be with you," is just a hint to it. Because the other bit that struck me, we jump to after towards the end of the advice in verse 23. If you do this and God so commands, both at the beginning and the end of his advice, Jethro is making sure that God's part of this picture. This is not just Jethro's idea or a thing that came to mind, but making sure that God's part of the picture in all of this. And it struck me that that was something really significant about what is going on here. Jethro is wanting to make sure that God is going to bless this idea if it's the right thing to do, and that Moses needs to discern and check that first before implementing it. For Jethro, it seems to be important that actually it is God's will, not just his idea. And this was reminding me of an experience I had about 25 years ago in a training course I was on for people involved in ministry or thinking about going into ministry. And it was all about time management, basically, and how to manage the pressures of a busy role or job. And at the start, the person running the session who'd come to sort of help guide us through this all got us to brainstorm a few ideas about things to do with time management, different phrases or ideas or concepts that people use to help them in their time management approach. And people threw out different ideas, and I can't remember any of them except for one. That one of the people there who had 20 years in experience in ministry had said, and the phrase went something like this. It was, "You can have 1,000 good ideas, but you only need one God idea." And at the time, it kind of just jumped out and grabbed me, and it still sticks with me. But particularly, I think the situation I was in, I was working alongside a vicar who had 1,001 ideas before he had his breakfast in the morning. And trying to discern how to work alongside that, manage that, understand what's going on, and understand actually what was God doing or saying. It particularly spoke to me in that situation. But it has continued to be something that I've recognized is really important in time management, but also in terms of leading others, but leading ourselves. Discerning what's God's ideas, or discerning what God's will and plan is for us, and what that looks like, and actually making sure that's his ideas and not our ideas. And actually, although it sounds really simple, I realize through some experience that actually it's a lot harder to work out the difference. While the idea and concept sounds really important, discerning what God's ideas are for us, our day-to-day life, and what that looks like. And I think that's one of the things that has struck me about watching this passage of this great hero of faith, Moses, in terms of he was leading such an amazing number of people. But when this idea came that Jethro offered, it needed to be made sure, is this of God? And we don't see the exact details. I'd love to know exactly what it meant. But we see in verse 24 that Moses listened to his father-in-law and did everything he said. I would love to know how Moses actually checked out with God what this was and whether it should be something to do. But as Jethro encouraged him to, I'm sure Moses would have done, because then he went on to implement it and it became a significant difference for him in his leadership in carrying this heavy burden. But for Moses, things are slightly different to us today. In fact, in the Old Testament, when we look at how God spoke and how people discerned his will, what were his God ideas and what he was calling them to do, God spoke and worked primarily through individuals in the Old Testament. Whether it's Abraham we heard about last week, Moses this week, and the other people we'll be learning in the next few weeks who are from the Old Testament. He worked in particular individuals and anointed them with his spirit and his guidance to lead them with what was his calling and will and God ideas for their lives. That found its culmination in Jesus coming and being the perfect example of that. Not just anointed by God, but God himself filled with his Spirit, showing the perfect example of what that looks like. No failures, no faults, because he was God in human form. But then when Jesus came to having resurrected and revealed himself to his disciples, those of you in home groups in St. John's who have looked at this in the past few weeks, Jesus ascended to heaven. He returned to his Father in heaven. Now, I wonder if there was options in terms of thinking, well, what if Jesus stayed like Moses, like a judge who we could go to? Whether that could have been an option. But we know that actually God's will was for Jesus to return to him in heaven. Jesus didn't stay in a physical form and be like a judge sat on a seat at that point in the history of God's plan. He returned to heaven. But in that point, when he ascended, he knew that we needed to have someone to guide us, to discern how to follow him, for him to be our leader and our good shepherd. And so he promised the Helper, the Holy Spirit, the one who would come to help guide and lead us to know who Jesus is and to follow his ways, so that then we could be led by him, even though he wasn't with us physically anymore. Through his Spirit, he was with us to guide and lead us. And that's where it's different for us. We're not in a situation like Moses. God's plan and salvation has led to the point where now we have his Holy Spirit to help guide and lead us. In so many different ways, the role of the Holy Spirit is to point us to Jesus and help us to be led by him. For we're all sheep following the Good Shepherd, and he's the one leading us. Whatever our role is we're called to, whether we have the opportunity to influence, to lead others, to encourage them to be led by Jesus, our calling is through the Holy Spirit to help discern and lead and encourage others to follow him. And that's where it's different for us through the ministry of Holy Spirit. That actually what his role is to help us to grow in that truth and know what it means to follow him through his word, as we unpack it, as he speaks through us, as we understand what that means, as we learn from failures and learn from the great examples, and when we focus on Jesus. That through his Holy Spirit, he draws people around us, other brothers and sisters, who can give us that wise advice, that different perspective, that godly wisdom, to encourage us in discerning what God wants us to do and what are his ideas. Through prayer and seeing answers and responses to what we are asking, as we ask him to give us wisdom and to guide and provide for us. Through circumstances and through his Spirit speaking and prompting us in a small whisper and in other ways that he gives us nudges. That actually the challenge is to discern what is God's ideas, whether we're a leader or whether we're someone who's not in a role that's a formal responsibility to be a leader. We're all called to make sure that the ideas and plans that we have are in line with what Jesus wants, just as Moses was encouraged by Jethro to make sure that this idea was what God commanded, not just what he suggested. And that's the challenge for us all in terms of the example of Moses. Yes, he made mistakes, but yes, he was a man of great faith who made sure he was following God's leading. And for us, the challenge is, when we put our faith in Jesus, to make sure through his Spirit that we're discerning what God's will and plan is for us, that we're in step with him, being led by him, whatever role he calls us to, the opportunities we have to influence each other and influence other people to be led by him, but first of all to discern what his will and what his ideas are for our lives, and to make sure, therefore, that when we follow his calling and when we're in step with him, then we're not taking too much of a burden on. Moses took on too much and needed that nudge to understand what God was commanding him to do. And sometimes we need the nudge to work out what his call is, to make sure that we're in balance and not taking on the burden of too much. Sometimes we do need to take that step back or to find people who can come and speak into our lives. Jethro spoke into Moses' life and made sure that he was following what God's commands were and getting God's ideas for the best way to lead his people. And Jesus wants us through his Spirit to make sure that we are focusing on him and getting his direction through his word and through his Spirit as to what that looks like to follow him and have him as our good shepherd. And maybe in the process, we'll also have a chance to lead others or nudge others or influence others and speak into their lives to encourage them to make sure that Jesus is at the center and that we're making sure it's his ideas, not just our good ideas, that we're seeking to do in our day-to-day lives. Let's just pause for a moment to pray. To maybe just be still and to think about some of the things that he calls us to at the moment, some of the opportunities we have, opportunities that maybe we need to discern. Are they of his will and his way? Maybe there's people that we need to nudge to speak into their lives, to be a Jethro to them. Maybe we need to be challenged to be open to others speaking into our lives, or to simply come to him through his Spirit and to hear from him as to what we need to reflect on, areas where we may need to change, areas where we may need to learn and grow. So, Father God, thank you that you are a God of grace and mercy, that you know what we are like, and that you work in the midst of our mistakes, that you speak to us. You want us to be led by your Son, Jesus, the Good Shepherd, in step with his ways and listening to his voice. Help us to be in step, but help us to also know your grace and mercy, that when we make mistakes, that you can use them. You can teach us, you can help us to grow, that we may walk closer with you, to point more to you, and to help others to grow in being led by you as well. In your name, Jesus. Amen.